Welcome to Jackie Walker's Blether Report, where you can expect the unexpected.
Hello, it's Jackie Walker with this week's Blether Report. And you'll be delighted, as regular listeners, to know that I have the company of Lynn Patterson with me today. Lynn, hello.
Hi, Jackie. Hi, everyone.
I'm so glad to have you back. It's been a wee while, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. I'm delighted to be back. Yeah. I always enjoy blethering with you. You know that.
Oh, it's such a good thing, blethering. And we're going to blether mainly today, though, about Kundalini Reiki and the energy of Kundalini Reiki, which is something that in the last few months I've been experiencing myself, because Lynn attuned me back in April and May. And really, truly, it has given me such a different way of life, a different way of looking at things. It's upped my capacities to use energy, to transmute energy, to do many, many different things. And I think it's so fascinating, and it's such a delicious energy that I really want to know more and share about it, Lynn.
Yes, I think, and I think the being the passionate and having those direct experiences yourself is the best way to share, quite frankly. Sharing your direct experiences, because when people hear you talking and they read what you've written and they look at your website and you can feel that something just speaks to people in their body. And of course, that's the Kundalini, that's our life force energy that is speaking to the life force energy in another. And that's what creates that attraction and that interest and that little spark that you can't always, as a person who's just becoming interested or just reading about it, you can't always say, well, it was this or it was that drew me to, but I just heard the word Kundalini and I just knew I had to be there or I had to get in touch.
That's funny, isn't it? Because the word Kundalini is one that isn't actually all that well known, but it does have this magnetism, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And I think that that's really an accurate way of sort of describing it. It's got magnetism, but it's also got the electro part of it as well. So it is a kind of a surge in our electromagnetic energy. That's what I would describe it as. It affects the root and it affects the crown. So the roots and the very top, if we were to look at ourselves like a tree, it affects the roots and the very, very top, everything in between as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, in fact, it is. It's like having, it does, because it runs from the root, which is basically in your perineum, isn't it?
Yes.
In a human being, to the crown of your head. And what joins them is right up your spine.
Yes. Yeah.
And of course, it's chakras that spin around the main chakras that run up through our body. They effectively get a supercharged drain clearing through them, don't they?
Yes, that's a great way of putting it. It's it's like a drain clearer, like Dyna Rod we might have in the UK, And in fact, I was having an experience of Kundalini a good few years ago, where I was getting these sort of flutterings and sometimes palpitations in some of my chakras. And so I had a reading with somebody who could see energy, and they said, well, basically Kundalini is going to move through the chakras, the energy systems, and kind of sort of hammer away until it gets through there, a bit like drain clearing or clearing roadblocks.
Right.
And so it's not that Kundalini is ignoring the personality and doing everything at its own pace, because it's coming from the soul directive. you know, right. It's coming from the soul directive, and that doesn't always line up with what the personality thinks should be happening. But it's also not a personal thing. It is a very universal thing, Kundalini. And so sometimes it might feel like Kundalini is producing or giving effects in the body and emotions that sometimes can be difficult to handle, or, you know, a little bit worrying at times. And that was a little bit worrying for me, wondering about what these palpitations were in my body. So what I did was I went and got some help and advice on it. And that reassured me, you know? So it's just right. Self-care there is that, you know, that you there are people who know about Kundalini, and you can get help in smoothing things out. And that's one of the things I love about Kundalini Reiki, is that it smooths out Kundalini activations, including any activations that may have been happening from an earlier time in your life, or even past life experiences.
What exactly does that mean, Lynn? You know, activations from earlier in life or past life as well.
I think earlier on in life, there can be, you know, when I'm holding Kundalini Reiki classes, one of the questions I ask, either in a class or individual, is who has had traumatic experiences to their coccyx, you know, the base of the spine?
Right.
There's a fairly high percentage of the participants who say, oh yeah, wow, I'd forgotten that. I fell down the stairs and I slipped on the tiles, or I was on a horse and I fell on my bum, or, you know, I had a motorcycle accident, or this or that, you know.
Can I tick all those boxes?
Or maybe I had an epidural.
Oh, and another one.
And maybe it didn't quite work, and I was experiencing quite a lot of pain, and you know, this, that, or the next thing. You know, there's all sorts of things that can happen to the spine. And, of course, you know, the Kundalini is said to reside at the bottom of the spine as the coccyx curls up inside us. This, you know, people who are psychic can see, oh, there's a that's a Kundalini gland. So it's like a coiled serpent there, or potential, untapped potential.
Right.
So the reason that it can be activated in an, you know, earlier on in a lifetime would be means to do with the soul's path. So what reasons are there? I mean, we would just be guessing all of, you know, guessing into them, really, Jackie. But, and it's a big topic, so sufficient to say it can be the soul's design as to when Kundalini awakens, and perhaps it's to do with people who are especially sensitive, who have, their souls are incarnating on the planet in order to, you know, create experiences for the soul path and to help in the ascension process. Who knows? It depends on where your beliefs lie. But for some reason or other, some people have their Kundalini activated either completely or partly at some point in their younger lives before they get to the stage of having a conscious awareness.
Right. Okay.
Of it. And that can also be from past lives, you know, where perhaps Kundalini has awoken in somebody and they have awoken to all of these gifts. Everything's enhanced and amplified, and then they've been killed as a witch. You know, because all of a sudden now you're more psychic, you're having perhaps prophetic dreams, you've got deep wisdoms, you're starting to be able to do spontaneous healings, oh, that must mean you're a witch, so therefore, you know, now you're going to die. And the other thing is the traditional time for Kundalini awakening is the midlife passage or the midlife crisis, around about, you know, somewhere between 38 and 42, when astrology speaking wise, you're getting your Uranus opposition, and Uranus is the planet of electricity. It's the planet that rules Kundalini, and it's not a coincidence that it's called Uranus.
Of course not.
Because that's where the Kundalini is.
Right.
Okay, so there's all sorts of human issues that are associated with awakening spiritually and sexually. And Kundalini is key to that. Anybody who has their Kundalini awoken and is running and flowing is now part of the river of life and knows the dance of spirit intimately. They simply cannot be controlled.
That's interesting. And with that comes a great responsibility as well.
Yeah, and it's a learning thing, isn't it, the great responsibility?
Yeah.
It doesn't just land on your plate overnight. And if it does, it still takes some years for you to work through it.
Absolutely.
So those people who have had, you know, full spontaneous Kundalini awakenings, that can be quite traumatic, and it can take several years for them to work through that. And so Kundalini Reiki can help smooth out the trauma that is still continuing to affect these people, either knowingly or unknowingly, even several years later, you know, 10 or 20 or 30 years later.
Ah, now I'm beginning. Right, okay. See, gosh, even though I'm attuned and knew that this is all great, this is actually beginning to make even more sense to me. It's that the way that it can, the smoothing is almost like the what I've got is an image of a bumpy. Say it was the top of an icing. You'd say you were trying to ice a cake.
Yeah.
And you dollop great big dollops on, and then you take a beautiful big flat knife to spread it out and just make it even.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that, because the Reiki part of it is that smoothing.
Yes. I think that's a great analogy. It's a great sort of metaphoric picture there with that.
And almost like pulling out it's almost like straightening a skipping rope out as well, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
It's taking the kinks out.
Yeah, it's taking the kinks out, smoothing it out. Just imagine sort of smoothing out those strands, softening them, nurturing them. It's all that kind of nice soothing. You know, so many of us have got sort of frazzled nerves and so much fear, because that's what the collective is carrying. And really, anybody who has awoken or had their Kundalini awoken can be kind of really on the outskirts of society. And they can feel very isolated. And so, you know, and to be shunned and just to be different, you know what it's like. You know, we just all want to belong in some way. We want to be loved. And if we're different and we're not fitting in anymore, then that's often just enough of a cause to feel that we're not going to receive the love. Because for millennia, that's what's happened. And it's not simple enough just to be able to say, oh, that's not affecting me in this life. But it is, actually.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think one of the big words and one of the immediate senses that I got from when I was very first attuned was this depth. God, it actually makes me quite teary even talking about it. It was the belonging, because it was what was huge for me was this recognition of belonging on Earth and how Earth and nature being Earth, was such an I use it all the time. Nature is always my metaphor. It's something that I work with, my Blether reports or my Blether forecasts, all sorts of stuff. I use nature all the time.
Yes.
And so I do feel connected with it. But it was bigger than that. It was the Big Mama effect, you know?
Yes. Yes.
Belonging to Earth.
Yes. Yes, and that's what I've noticed most about Kundalini Reiki, is just that feeling of, I'm welcomed here, I belong here, I'm wanted here. And that's a huge, huge, huge thing for people. You know, and I don't even think that we know. People in general don't know that they're experiencing this earth orphan syndrome, until they have the experience of really feeling wanted here.
Yeah.
You know, and so many people sort of have felt throughout their life, well, is this a mistake I'm here? Should I really be here? Really, you know, it's like, please, I'm a human being, get me out of here.
Absolutely. And like, this is funny because then we search the belonging, we search for it in other people and or things, and we don't belong then to them. We belong to Earth and we belong to ourselves.
Yes.
And what I have found with the Kundalini Reiki, and I've certainly noticed it with people that I've been working with, particularly in those I've attuned, is how much more grounded and aware of themselves and to whom and to what they belong, rather than trying to find it anymore in someone else.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. Because everything happens on Earth from the ground up. And if you are not grounded, then you are not going to be able to carry the frequency or the amount of current, electricity or power that you're designed to. So the moment you start to become grounded and make those connections, you start to be able to flow with much more power. And your body can gradually, it depends on how much work you've done and, you know, how many toxins there are in the body and emotions, but you will immediately start to carry more light at a cellular level. So it's like your cells and the spaces in between just carry a higher frequency of light as well. So all of the powers that you had before are enhanced, and you get access to more, knowing and more power. And power isn't just like, whoa, now I can rule the world. It's true power, which is, wow, now I see my part in the world, my part with Earth, my partnership. You know, now I feel like a child, a divine child of Earth.
Yes, and even if people, because I have to say that I probably wouldn't use those words, but I definitely feel like I belong.
Yeah.
So what I found is that, gosh, it's definitely, bizarrely, I mean, I've been attuned to many things over the years, but I have to say that most of them I took with a pinch of salt and had to literally trust that I'd accepted and taken the attunement, because I didn't feel anything. I couldn't tell that I was any different. That's not true. My very first Reiki attunement, I remember thinking that I was 6 feet tall, and being that I'm only 5 foot, it was quite exciting to see over walls suddenly, and I was walking along. But but with the Kundalini Reiki, that wasn't the case at all. With the Kundalini Reiki, I knew quite tangibly, quite viscerally, right there, right then, when it was coming into my body, when the attunement stopped, when the energy had run its course.
Yes.
And whenever I do any work with others, they also know it. And I do, I now am offering each, in my newsletter, to my newsletter list, every fortnight, I now have set up a Kundalini healing. So I put a healing out for my newsletter readers. Open brackets, if you want to sign up for my newsletter, just go to jackiewalker.me, close brackets. But the feedback I have got from people who are open and have asked to receive it has been extraordinary, what people are feeling. And this is all at distance. It's, you know, it's distance healing. And the difference in doing a healing like this to doing an ordinary Reiki, an Usui Reiki, or one of the Reikis I used to do, is extraordinary.
Yeah. Isn't it awesome? It's so exciting, isn't it?
It absolutely is. It really is, and it's so powerful. And do you know what I really feel is that this is an energy waiting for us all to receive.
Yes. Yes, absolutely, it is. It is waiting for us all to receive it. And, you know, one of the things that I found that has changed in this last year is that, you know, up until then, I would say that Kundalini should have always been just at the left to the individual and their soul's decision to activate it. So although I was, you know, attuned to Kundalini Reiki, you know, a good couple of years ago, it wasn't something that I really felt like, okay, this is my time to work with it. I was really just using it on myself, and I did a couple of very small classes. But this year in particular, I had just felt like, okay, now it's a good time to bring this tool out of the box, because it seems that more and more of us are becoming consciously aware of the time when our soul says, it's time now to activate the Kundalini, rather than it happening as an unconscious process. So I'm finding that people who are coming forward for the Kundalini Reiki are much more consciously aware about, this is speaking to me, I need to do this. And they seem to be more ready. So there are people like you who have done a lot of work who are having immediate experiences with Kundalini Reiki, and because you've already done a lot of the integration work beforehand, whereas some people are coming and they're not having maybe the same experiences as you were, and maybe it's a lot more low key to them, but then they have quite a lot of integration to do afterwards. So it's not the same for everybody, but it is something I feel now that is becoming much, much more part of somebody's choice, conscious choice.
Interesting. Yes, I would, I can see where you're coming from there. And I think that comes partly from the 100 monkey syndrome, isn't it? That so many have started along some path of self-development, personal growth work, which inevitably is going to involve some form of understanding energy going through the body and what is happening. And you just need to look around the world to know that it's time that more and more of us really connected with Earth and really connected the energies. And what I see myself, and this is how it has transpired for me, and it may not, I think so everyone can have their own experience, will have their own experience. Clearly they'll have their own experience because we're all here doing different things. What I clearly see is being this connecting rod between the universal energies upstairs and the grounded Mother Earth energies downstairs.
Yeah, it's like being the bridge between heaven and earth, and now you are really feeling like you are. In fact, you're more like a cosmic portal as well, because, of course, all of the chakras that we have are actually sort of interdimensional portals. They're not just energy centers, they're gateways as well.
Ah.
So it's kind of like being that bridge or tunnel connection between all of these multidimensional parts of ourselves as well. So the whole energy field becomes greater and bigger and more online. It's kind of like this upgrade. For want of a better description, it's like going for this upgrade.
Yeah.
And, you know, the whole endocrine system starts to light up and flow in different ways. The pineal gland starts to excrete, you know, more light or more hormones that are of a higher vibration. It's really, you know, there's very little known about it, you know, on a scientific level, unless you were to go, I think, and study some of the stuff from Russia, because they're a lot more... they've done an awful lot more research on this that is available, but I think you know, a lot of the papers are in Russia, but they've done a lot more sort of open studies of the human body and energy field than the West has done, and the studies that have been done in the West tend to be secret and done by people like the CIA.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, the human heart has got a huge electromagnetic field. I mean, it's the biggest electromagnetic field that can be measured, except for the planets itself. There's nothing greater than the human heart. So when somebody's kundalini is awoken, that is more than tenfold. And integrated, I say. It's not just awoken, it's integrated. It's activated and integrated. Activation is right. the electric thing. That's the doing, that's the activation. The integration is the magnetic part of the experience. That's the experience that would be the one that isn't really liked by most people. Though that's the time where you've had the great activations, it's all been very exciting, and now you're going through a week or a couple of weeks or a couple of months or whatever it is of rather intense emotional integration.
Yes.
So a lot of self-care is needed.
Well, I think yes, and I think that's the joy. But in fact, when you're doing Kundalini Reiki, as much as it clears the way for the energies to shift and for that Kundalini nest, as you were saying, at the bottom of your, you know, in your coil at the coccyx, for it to travel. But Kundalini Reiki itself doesn't actually give you necessarily the awakening, does it?
Well, it gives you the preparation. You know, the first attunement gives you the preparation and the sort of conditioning, as it were, for receiving the second two attunements. And the second two attunements between them will give you a Kundalini awakening at the level that your soul and has deemed that your physical body and emotional and mental bodies are ready for it. Because if we think about ourselves as that tree, which is like full of nerves and meridians and pathways of energy, if that electromagnetic circuit of the human body is not fit enough to carry the charge, then it'll be an overload of the system.
Right.
And so there's no purpose in doing that right now, because what the Earth wants is she wants us to remember that we are part of her, that we're not just little things moving around on her surface. Is that we are the Earth herself, that the Earth is not outside of us. We're more like we're inside of her, she's inside of us.
Okay.
And so that the Earth herself is the entity that releases the Kundalini energy for us. Because it's her energy, okay? And we are part of her. So the energy is released from the Earth and it moves through us. And as that happens, that's when we start to feel like we're not separate from her. And so all of the other traditions of spirituality have always been trying to be at one with everything, yeah?
Yes.
And increasingly feel disenfranchised and in separation, because you can be at one with everything for some of the time, but most of the time you're not in that space. Well, the difference with the Kundalini is, and what the Kundalini Reiki is, smooths it all out and makes it very gentle. And removes the trauma associated with Kundalini. But when you feel at one with the Earth, that's when you realize, wow, that's what I've been missing. You don't realize it until then. You're still trying to find it outside of you. But when our bodies are made of the same material as the Earth, we can feel things, and we'll be feeling things in our body that the Earth is feeling, but we have no idea of what it is, so we take it all personally.
Yes.
Take it all personally, and we think that it's all us and that it's all up to us to heal it and to fix it and all the rest of it. But when we really start to integrate that Kundalini, our energy, same as the earth energy, same as our energy. And so at that point, we start to realize, wow, okay, I'm starting to feel at home in the feminine aspect of humanity, which is a big missing piece of the puzzle.
Interesting. I see where Sue see this now, and something just twigged for me while we were talking. And one of them was that, you know, this is a very safe energy to use for everyone and anyone to have some form of connection, but we will connect only, it will only be, if you give somebody a thimble, there's no point in putting a pint into it.
Exactly.
So there is, it's naturally controlled.
Yes.
And the more that anybody works on themselves and with themselves to clear their emotional stuff and their toxin stuff and whatever else is going on, the Kundalini Reiki that is flowing, the Kundalini energy that flows through the Reiki that they are using is going to increase in capacity.
Yes.
The more they open themselves up and make themselves available.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, it's like going to, you know, it's like going to the light body gym. Yeah? I mean, if you haven't done any work, and it doesn't necessarily need to be all of this sort of traditional, just sort of ideas of what being spiritual is.
No.
You know, because it's also got to do with allowing yourself to be free and spontaneous and unprotected. And so it's not just like working on the self and making it hard work. It can be a whole journey into learning how to care for the self. And that can be with, you know, also to do with setting your boundaries and allowing some more fun into your life, allowing some dance and play in. I mean, who knows what it is, but the thing is that the Kundalini is its own intelligence and it can guide us. It's our choice whether we listen or not and follow those suggestions. And as we do so and want to take in more of this joyful and fun and beautiful and energy, it does push on those parts of us that is in resistance to that. And there's a huge amount of human consciousness that is in resistance to pleasure. Because Kundalini is an earth energy, is really about pleasure and intensity. So when you start to increase the flow, either by turning the switch up or pouring more water into that thimble, people experience that as intensity, yeah?
Yes, yes.
And people want to close down to intensity. It's too much. Oh, it's too much pleasure. Or it's too much suffering, or it's too much pain, or it's just too much energy moving through me. I don't know what to do with it. Mm-hmm. You know, because we're all so conditioned to be pressing down on the flow, which is why so many people have depression.
Absolutely.
Because they're pressing down, and women, you know, suffer much more from that. Because, you know, they have the advantage when it comes to earth energy, because they're like the physical manifestation of the creative life force energy. And so they carry naturally easier access to that and are more in tune with the earth than the majority of those in a male body are. And that's not a judgment or anything like that. It's simply the fact that women are more in tune with nature's cycles than men are.
Well, yes, absolutely. I mean, we only need to look at water flowing, but the moon and how it affects everything, and why our month, we have monthly cycles,
mm-hmm.
you know. Mm-hmm. But more than that, isn't it? It's more than that. There's a real. It comes to the bigger effort of the word mothering that I would use.
Yeah.
And this is it's funny because most conversations I'm having these days come back to something that I started looking at a few years ago, which was the larger concept of mothering. And to me, that's one of the joys of the Kundalini Reiki, is opening ourselves to this mothering and being mothered by something that is so big and beyond human mothering.
We've
put so much effort onto making our birth mother, our physical human birth mother, into something that she can never be.
Oh, I know, yeah.
I know. Yeah.
We're just so longing for it, you know, we're so longing, and that's that word belonging, you know, we split that up, belonging, because that longing for what it is that your heart is yearning, is longing for, which opens you to being able to receive the nurturing and nourishing from the earth. So it's not just about Kundalini Reiki and Kundalini activation. It's not just about us grounding into the earth. Because, you know, everybody talks about, oh, I'm so ungrounded, I'm so airy-fairy, I need to be more down to earth, and da-da-da-da-da. But you can only do so much about putting your own energy down into the earth. That's not where the secret is. The secret is being open to receiving the earth energy to move through you.
Yes.
That's the part of the picture that not many people see.
Yeah.
You know, they're so busy trying to put their energy down into the earth and root down into the earth. I mean, most of these sort of spiritual meditations, guided visualizations, would involve sending your energy down as roots right down into the core of the planet and gripping on for dear life.
Which is anchoring
your energy right down into the heart of the planet. That's not going to feel right. Would you like that? It's not very comfortable when somebody puts their roots or tendrils into your heart and grips on for dear life.
No, exactly. Wouldn't want that.
That's not a flow of energy, you know, that's a gripping on. It's like I get the picture of somebody standing on the earth and they've got talons for toes and they're just gripping on because they're terrified of falling off or of not being grounded. But hey, I mean, that's what gravity's for.
Isn't it just? That is the absolute joke of this whole thing, that we already are here and we don't. It's being aware of where your feet are in the earth that is makes such a huge difference to this. And I know that when I remember you saying it's like having those tiny little, like from a garden plant, an annual plant that you would put in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
It's those feathery little pretty roots that come out from right across your soul,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
just going down those 4, 5, 6 inches.
Yeah.
They're feeders almost, aren't they?
Yes, yes, yes. And, you know, it's kind of like that idea of, you know, allowing your energy field to go down into the earth, because it's there anyway, you know, but it's just becoming conscious of it and just to be able to feel what's going on. It's like an extension of the nervous system almost, and it, you know, it's sensitive and it's loving, and it can both allow energies to come in and energies to go down. So it's like a, you know, communication, really, communion. It's more like communion, because it's not like you consciously need to be thinking about, am I sending energy, am I receiving energy, although you might feel it like that way in the beginning. Eventually it smooths out into just an awareness of sharing and connection that I would call communion.
I like that. I really do like that. That's a lovely, lovely word to use. And it's amazing how you start to notice. I remember writing about this at one point was, I just see that for how many people this could help, just opening to this. And I was laughing and thinking, you know, there are people who are out there walking all the time anyway, you know, and having that even deeper connection would just be glorious. People who take photographs, you know, particularly nature photographers, I reckon they're already there.
Yes.
You know, imagine just what else could happen.
Yes, and I think the thing about Kundalini Reiki that I really like is because it helps us to receive. Okay, so there's the big part that we're missing, as we said, is the mothering, nurturing energy, but it's us who is refusing to receive it.
Yeah.
That's where the issue is. It's because we're saying, no, I'm dirty, I'm shameful, my physical body is not a fit vehicle for a spiritual experience, so, you know, I'm not good enough to receive, you know, I just don't deserve it. you know, and so that's why we have all of those adverts which, you know, use those concepts in order to bleed us of our energy, which is like, oh, you're worth it, you know, or every little helps. All of these adverts that talk about that, that, you know, you deserve this and you deserve a treat and all the rest of it. Well, it's because everybody, you know, subconsciously is always saying to themselves, no, I don't deserve it. I'm not worth it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's played on by the advertisers who, because they know that we're constantly trying to fill ourselves up with something. We're trying
with something, anything.
Anything at all, because we feel this big gaping hole inside of us. And yet we're not prepared to realize that it's because of our refusal to receive. And so Kundalini Reiki in particular, because it offers healing to be sent or received and self-healing, it teaches us about taking, giving, receiving, you know, whichever way you want to talk about it, that's what it teaches us to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps us with the receiving and integrating. So healing might be called integration, say. So the energies that we receive when we're open to sort of surrendering those parts of us or those beliefs that no longer serve and that aren't going to help us raise our vibration anymore, then, you know, the Kundalini Reiki is making use of the earth energy and the spiritual energy, but mostly the earth energy, in order to sort of get us used to receiving more and more and more of the earth energy. And that's
right.
It's done in a simple, slow, gentle way, according to the soul's desire, rather than, as you say, being overwhelmed with a huge amount of Kundalini energy when we're not simply ready for it. And that can just send us into overwhelm.
Yeah.
So Kundalini Reiki is got the kind of intelligence in it that says little and often, just enough, you know, delivery just in time, effective and efficient.
Yeah.
Not wasteful.
No, and you know, that is the joy of working with this as well, because in fact, compared to any of the other energy modalities I've worked and used, this one is such a joy because it requires so little from either the giver or the receiver.
Yeah, it's simple, isn't it?
Oh, it's so simple. There are no symbols. Hallelujah. And you know, attunements, we do attunements virtually, so at distance.
Yes.
It's brilliant. It's so clever.
Yes, it is, isn't it? And I think one of the things that I'd like to add in as well is that, you know, when you have had a lot of attunements and you've done a lot of energy modalities, that is what I had done many years in the past, just like yourself, and you know, you become a bit kind of, you know, cynical about another new Reiki or another this or another that, you know. And although I had reached Reiki Master level, I never really used it that much because it seemed very complex to me and I didn't really enjoy it. It wasn't that much fun. And that's not to say that people don't find it fun and they don't love it, because they do. I mean, Reiki is such a wonderful thing and so many people love it. But there are people like me who feel a bit sort of, you know, scunnered, great Scottish word there, with these sort of other modalities and tend not to use them. And that's how I felt about Kundalini Reiki at first, was like, oh, okay, I feel a bit like, oh, yawn. This is a bit of a con. I felt very kind of like cynical about it. And you know, I let that go because another little voice came in and says, well, you know, maybe, Lynn, this is not something just to dismiss like that. You know, there might be something in this for you. And so I looked at it and I sort of let down the judgment a bit. And I ended up taking the class, which was held at mine, because the host, she got ill, so she couldn't host it. So I got to hold the class here, which was great. And, you know, from the moment Judith Wade, who was my master teacher, came in. It was like, wow, what a beautiful lady. You know,
yeah.
Beautiful, fine energy and vibrant and fun and childlike as well, you know. And the moment she started doing a demonstration, it was like, wow, I was really, like, I could feel the energy from across the room.
Mm.
I have to say that not everybody in the class had the same experience as me. They didn't. They didn't have the same experience. And some people haven't used it at all. And some people have felt like, well, you know, it doesn't. I prefer using my traditional Reiki. So, I mean, I don't know why that is, why some people feel it more than others and get more excited about it. But
well maybe that's up to... That's up to the soul.
I guess it is. I don't know why, but so I was like really, really thrilled with the class. But then, you know, Jackie, I didn't use the Kundalini Reiki. I mean, I got the second and third attunements and all the rest of it, and had some nice experiences with those. But then I kind of like, you know, life took over and I was doing other things. And so it wasn't until maybe a good 8 months or even a year later when someone I'd attuned had said, well, do you not use that Kundalini Reiki balance when you're feeling a little bit off, Lynn? Because I'd been feeling that. I said, no, I didn't look at that. So I dug out the
manual. Oh, that's my favorite.
Yeah, I dug out the manual, Jackie, and I did it, and it was so simple. I thought, geez, you know, wow.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I love it.
I did it the other day, actually, Lynn, and you know, it really is, because for anyone listening, and I'm sure you, if you're interested, Lynn and I are both happy to speak to you about attuning you. But it, basically, it's so simple. All it needs is putting your hands together. And I sat doing it the other day because I knew I needed, so I was out of sorts. And actually, I'll do some form of Kundalini Reiki every day. Probably mainly the meditation, but
yeah.
So I was doing this, and my goodness, I could actually feel each of my chakras spinning. It was fascinating.
Oh wow, that's amazing.
I've never felt it before, but suddenly, and it started at my heart, and it worked its way down, and then it came back up from my root. It went up to my crown and came back down to my heart. So it was interesting how it had chosen to.
Yes, it is, because I've read that people who have had like you know, spontaneous Kundalini experiences feel that it starts at the root and then it goes up the spine into the head, out the top of the head, and then comes back down and resides in the heart. So that's fascinating that you're saying that it kind of did the opposite. And I think that's what the new consciousness is revealing in us, is that energy doesn't, you know, just go in one circuit. It's that we've got both of these flows of energy going on, both directions. Of course we are, because we're beings that are made up of, you know, an electromagnetic poles. So
yeah.
It's amazing experiences that people are having with this, and it's bringing them cognitive knowing in the body that, it, you know, no matter how many books or things that you read, is that this is making you feel like, wow, I'm alive, I'm in a human body,
yeah.
And I'm meant to be here.
Do you know, and the rest of it almost doesn't matter.
Ah, yeah.
Bottom line, isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
I am alive, I'm in a human body, I live in the most amazing, you know, I am on the planet. I'm surrounded by, I'm safe.
Yeah.
And I belong here. It's okay. I belong. Wow. Now that I belong, I can stop searching.
Yes. Yeah, it's a huge, huge relief.
Absolutely. And what I think would be really useful, because it's not so well known, you know, I know there are various different websites on it, but, you know, should we talk through the process of attunement? And
yeah.
Because again, it is so simple.
Yes. Yeah. People can't, you know, people can't believe how simple it is. And I've done classes where it's so simple that because we're so used to complexities,
yeah,
that people just don't get it. They can't believe that it's like, the mind, the brain is not computing because it's so simple.
Yeah.
We're so used to having complicated layers of instructions that anything that doesn't, you know, we're thinking, wow, no, it can't be that simple. It's just like, I just can't understand that. No, I can't understand it. I must be getting
it. I can't be getting it right.
Yeah.
And it's not. In fact, actually, a class could probably take a very short period of time, like about an hour, and then you could dismiss class. But in fact, the joy around it is actually all the talking like this, and the explanations, and the interest, and the
I think so, yeah.
The depth of what can happen, you know, of what somebody is signing up to, because it's so glorious.
Yeah. Yeah.
So basically, what happens is, I mean, and you know, you and I will be running workshops in Scotland.
Mm.
You already run them in Cork and Dublin, Ireland, and we both attune. What's the word? Remotely.
So yes.
I've attuned people in the States, Japan, Spain. And the UK and various parts of the UK. So it basically requires someone to have the first attunement, which gets given to you. First of all, you would, once you've signed up for it, and Lynn and I both charge the same amount, so it's £100 UK. And you then sign up for it and you will be sent a manual.
Yeah.
And once you've received the manual and read through it, the first attunement will agree on a time, and the attuner, the master, Lynn or I, in this instance, will. Now, this sounds really funny and weird, but what happens is basically we put your attunement in the equivalent of Dropbox, if you're using online filing. So we put it up in the cloud, but literally up into heaven. So it's there, up in the sky, up in the universe, up in, way out there somewhere, ready for you to call in.
Yeah.
And that might sound weird, but it works, and it really works. And so you do that on a day, that whenever at your choosing, in a time that's comfortable for you, because Lynn or I wouldn't need to be there at the same time. We would just say it will be ready on, say, Monday from 10 o'clock, and you can download it whenever you like.
Yeah, yeah. And as you said, there's no symbols that the person who's doing the attuning has to do. So people who are really like either new to Reiki and they have no idea, this is a strange concept for them anyway, but they've sometimes heard stories about Reiki where it's very, very complex. And so it can be a bit of a leap of faith for the attuner as well. To trust in the process, because you're simply asking, may this person, be attuned to, bringing forward the attunement level one for this person, saying their name and just really trusting that attunement comes forward. And of course, even, building up the life force energy around you and increasing your own power, which is also, like a 5 or 10 minute exercise to do before you send the attunement. Even then, doubts can come in, It's like, oh, have I done this enough? Have I got enough life force energy? Is it going to work? All of those doubts come in, and yet it works.
It does.
It works.
It absolutely does. And then 48 hours later, the second attunement will be there for you to go through the same process again.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is that it never goes away. So that if you feel you didn't get it the first time, you can go and take it down again. Yes. You just open the file up, effectively.
Yes, indeed. I mean, that's what I did with my, it was either my second or third attunement. I called it in twice. And I understood that I got it fully the first time, but the experience wasn't that noticeable for me. So I thought, I'm going to do it again. And actually, the experience I had the second time was really much, much nicer and much more obvious. And I think, as I said earlier, the soul is just seeking experiences all the time, which are leading to growth. So it wasn't that it didn't I didn't get it. It was I needed another experience.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there's no right or wrong here either.
No right or wrong, no.
But I did the first one once, I did the second one twice, and I did the third one three times.
And did you have different experiences each time?
Yes, the first one absolutely was the biggest experience ever. And in fact, all the others have paled into insignificance practically since then.
Uh-huh. But that's interesting.
They've been, yeah, it was a very spontaneous reaction I had to the first one, or response rather. It was quite delicious. And then it didn't happen again. And I thought, oh, that's not fair. However, actually, what I did notice was the depth that the first time I did the second one was I wasn't sure, because I hadn't had this huge response in my body. But when I did it a second time, it was a knowing, which was lovely. I had a very deep knowing. And the third one, again, actually, I left quite a period, because the third one is available to you 7 days after the second one. I actually waited 3 weeks because it didn't feel right. So I waited quite a long time before I took the third one.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad I did. It worked for me. And I just to be absolutely certain, I brought it in three times. And by the third time, it was really like, you know, come on, Jackie, you know you're here. And it was like talking to me and going, you didn't need to do this. And I'm going, no, I know, but it's really nice to have done it again.
Yes. Yeah, and it's just, you know, there's no right and there's no wrong with it. And it's all working, you know. It's just allowing yourself to do what you want to do and to trust that process. And I think that's what Kundalini Reiki is. It's one of its greatest gifts, is helping us to trust our intuition and just know that things are working and that we can do it our way. And that it's a journey, and we're going to find out more as we go, rather than keep going back and saying, oh, does it need to be this? Should it be this? Should it be that? You know, it's so good for that, and just being able
it is, and it's wonderful.
Relax
individual.
And receive.
Yes, relax and receive, and by gum, you will be well equipped. It will be beautifully handled and given to you. So, Lynn, this is wonderful, and I think we've certainly shared a lot, and we'd be delighted to hear from anybody. If you want to get in touch directly with any questions you have, you can find Lynn at her website, which is, Lynn, give us your website.
Is www.oneheart-tantra.com.
Perfect. And you will also find the One Heart Tantra Facebook page, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep. So you can get in touch with Lynn there. You can find me, as you know, on www.jackiewalker.me. You'll catch me on Twitter if you want a quick word, which is at Jackie Walker. Lynn, do you use Twitter?
I have a One Heart Twitter account, but honestly, I don't really use it that much.
Well, let's not give that out.
I mean to use it, but then, you know, I get bored with it.
Well, precisely, and there's not much point in doing anything you get bored with. We're here for fun.
No.
We're here for fun, ease, and pleasure. So, we would welcome anybody, any questions, and do let us know. And Lynn, thank you for joining me with this, because I really do want the Kundalini Reiki energy. It really fills me so much that I've never been quite so. What's the word? I'm fanatical about it.
And also, just to remind the people who are listening, that you don't need to just have Kundalini Reiki as an attunement. You can actually, you know, arrange to have Kundalini sent to you as healing as well. It's not just all about getting attuned yourself. If you don't feel ready for that, then just receiving the energy is a very, very simple thing to receive. And because it only takes 5 to 10 minutes, you know, it's a great little boost that you can have, either done remotely or in person, as part of other healing experiences, or just to stand alone as well.
That is a perfect reminder. Well done, Lynn. I think that really is a very, very important reminder, because not everybody wants to be attuned. So again, we both offer this service as So do get in touch, and I'm sure there are many others around the country. I'd love everybody to be able to offer it to one another. It'd be heavenly. And in the meantime, Lynn, thank you so much. We look forward to having you back again for another Blether soon.
And thank you, Jackie, and lots of love to you all. And to you too.
Wonderful.